listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thought I'd share that. That was Otis Redding, A Lover's Prayer. Yet another beautiful day here in Honolulu, and glad you all could join me and listen in and share your thoughts. If you'd like to, 524-1080. I got a couple of things we're going to be talking about. And right now, last week we talked briefly about the Nanakuli High School and the students going off to Scotland, and there was a fundraiser with a PVT land company and trying to fund this effort for next year. And so as a result of that, I wanted to give you folk a little more information on it, and if nothing else, just give your support to the kids there at Nanakuli High. And I have Robin Ketsu on the line. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Carol, and thanks for having me on your show.
Anytime. Tell us what last week Ben shared with us, some of the things, and I'm still just excited for the kids out there. And can you share with the listeners out there what's going on and some of the background?
Okay, well, the Nanakuli High and Intermediate School Performing Arts Center was one of 62 schools across the nation who were selected to perform in next year's Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland. There were 2,200 applicants to get this right, and Nanakuni was one of 62 high schools who were selected. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is the world's largest performing arts festival. There are shows in every type of venue you can think of, on the streets, in basements, and whatnot. But the American High School Theater Festival is the one who coordinates the high schools to go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and they have some fabulous venues for the kids to perform. Obviously, it's a great honor because we are not only representing Hawaii and Nanakuni, but we're also representing the United States with a worldwide audience. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is to raise the funds needed to take the kids up there. It's no secret that Nanakuni has some social economic challenges, so for our kids to be able to attend this once-in-a-lifetime event, it will take a lot of work, and PVT Land is doing their best to help us get there.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you? I read something about the kids don't even have a theater, so to speak, to do this practice. And where do they practice? Is it something in the lunch hall?
You know, it's a little bit of history. We started, this will be our 20th year, and when we started, the school had no cafeteria. So we basically practiced outdoors. There was a courtyard stage, which we used. When we did shows at night, we would set up portable lighting. And there was also a chorus room, which we used for a dramatic place. Eventually, a cafeteria was built with a stage, but again, we share that with the rest of the school. So we practice in there. We are back in the chorus room, so we have that. But basically, you know, we do not have a venue like other schools to put on shows. And yet, you know, our program has been recognized. I mean, we were the first organization in Hawaii to perform Disney's Beauty and the Beast. We were the first organization in Hawaii to perform High School Musical 2. So, you know, the theater, I guess, community recognizes the work we've been doing, and I think, you know, this honor of going to the Fringe Festival just kind of reinforces the work that the kids, past and present, have been doing.
Mm-hmm. So the can the public or the listeners out there ever get a chance to see them actually dancing, and if so, where?
Okay, yeah. Actually, we'll be performing several places. Again, the PVT Land Dinner that they're sponsoring, a fundraiser, is this coming Saturday. And I don't have the number, but you could call PVT Land for more information. We are scheduled to perform on October 9th at the Hawaiian Electric Energy Fair at Pearl Ridge Shopping Center Uptown Stage. And if you go to our website, it is www.nhispac.com. We have all our schedules. We have information about our program. We have information about where people could even send donations if they feel, you know, that they would like to support us. All of that is there. Or they can call the school at 668-5823.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're just as excited as the kids are, and that's good to hear.
Well, I was fortunate that part of the program of being accepted by the American High School Theater Festival was that the directors were able to go to the Fringe Festival last week. They actually sponsored us to go up there because they feel like, you know, it's such a big endeavor that they want to make sure that the directors understand what it means to be there. And for myself, that was the first time to Edinburgh and Scotland, and it is an amazing venue. It is an amazing environment where you have all of these people who just love the performing arts, from music, dance, theater, drama, and it is just unbelievable to think that, you know, the kids would be able to experience this. And, you know, many of the directors that I've spoken with the program have said, you know, it's kind of a life-changing experience for the students.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realize that the world isn't as large as they may have thought. That there are many people who love and support the performing arts, and it gives them, you know, I guess a sense of that, you know, what they're doing is worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Well, the children start off as innocent as any community, and unfortunately the handicap is they don't get the resources or have the resources, or, I mean, that same area over there, they couldn't even get air conditioners in the school.
Oh, yeah.
So I just absolutely am excited to hear that Nanakuli High, and that's not to suggest that Nanakuli is a bad place anyway. I want to make sure start off understanding that, but the excitement is that children from that community and from that school is going to represent Hawaii, just like the kids from Punahou, kids from, that I love, you see.
Just to share, that Mid-Pacific is also going to be attending this event, and so we've kind of partnered, and one of the projects that we're looking at doing is, having this private school with all their resources and a public school like ours actually work together, as the year goes on, because if we're both going to be up there, we want to have that bonding experience, and I think it'll be a good learning experience for both students from both schools.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way you could put on something at Leawood College, or is it difficult?
Yeah, well, no, actually, when you mentioned that, in November, we actually have every year our performing arts kind of like a festival at an auditorium, and every year it's at Pearl City High School Cultural Center, and that would be on November 20th and 21st, and it'll be a musical review show, and it'll be celebrating our talents of our students and even alumni, because when we get to perform in an auditorium setting, that's a special occasion for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be having more information on our website about tickets and exact times and things.
Well, can you call again and keep us posted? And also, I'd like, if there's any way the public can, if not donations, just a letter of support or something.
Oh, yeah. Actually,
write to and who can they call?
We've talked about, that if people, it's not only the donations, but to spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
And if they know of any corporate organizations that may want to sponsor, as we said, this is a life-changing experience for our students. And so, just put us in contact, give us the word. We'll take it from there. And, mm-hmm. We appreciate any help that the public can give us.
Yeah. So Nanakuli High School and the Nanakuli community is the ambassadors, and that is a good thing. And showing how great it is to be young and showing the support. So,
thank you.
Hey, thank you. And please call again anytime and update us, because I know how it is to not have any funds in schools and low budget, and so you struggle, but you still get things done.
We still make it work because it's for the kids.
Okay, well, don't hesitate to call us back now.
Okay.
Keep us posted.
Thank you,
Robin.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
Aloha.
Okay.
All righty. I mean, it gives you goosebumps. You pick up the paper and it's always something negative. Not always, but to showcase and to say to the young kids there, as well as Kahala or wherever, we're all part of the future. Believe it or not, even though the future is to come, they will shape and make. And what we contribute to them now will help them be better citizens, and also showing just what kids can really do. If you don't leave them with any resources or share with them, then more than likely you will get a little craziness, idle minds, nothing to do. So anyway, I'm also going to have Miss Marty Townsend calling in around 8:30. We're going to talk about, she's from Kahea, she's been on before, and we're going to talk about a few things over-occurring and why and I, Nanakuli side again, and as far as it relates to the environment and tropic lands development, proposed development, and the Land Use Commission. We'll be throwing that around, and also some of the things that are occurring with our governor, Linda Lingle, and the efforts to change conservation laws and what have you. But just a real quick bit here, and so many people have asked me if I could talk about the recent decision by the Campaign Spending Commission on the ruling, and they're concerned that it was a small penalty. And they've felt and have expressed concern that I might be discouraged that such a small penalty. I want you to understand where I come from, my motivation. I can't be citizen, judge, jury, and prosecutor. That would is simply wrong, and this one body can't carry all of those emotions. So when I try to do things, I make it factual. I try to be I'm truthful, and I rely on the agencies, the regulatory bodies whom I submit these complaints to do the right thing. While they did look at it, I submit to you that this is the greatest example. If you have concerns that this is a corrupt state, then you need not look any further than to look at Ms. Wong and the Campaign Spending Commission and how they behaved. Some of you may recall Senator Melody Aduha. They dipped her in tar and tried to, do whatever they could to destroy her. Hanneman, on the other hand, these behaviors that he performed, of the way in which he performed in Pittsburgh, just speaking of Pittsburgh now, is horrible. It's horrendous. And Barbara Wong struggled to sit there and cover it up. They never asked me for any evidence. There is an actual video that we know of that filmed the entire program, and Hanneman has a copy and refused to release a copy. She stated that, now he wasn't tried or found guilty of many of these things, and the rationale was they didn't have the jurisdiction. So in other words, what happens, someone saw this major crime being committed, so they picked up the phone and they called the Humane Society instead of calling the police or the FBI, U.S. Marshals. So the Humane Society didn't bother to forward it on. They just said, it's not within our jurisdiction, so no problem. So if you want to see what a cover-up is, pay attention to this Campaign Spending Commission's behavior. And then if you really want to see how the media is playing with your mind, the Abercrombie matter was over and done with. But every report that you see when it speaks to this Hanneman matter, they remind you, well, Abercrombie was fined $50. Well, Hanneman could have been fined $500,000 and probably a criminal charges brought, but they didn't do that. So there's a lot to be said there, folks. And hopefully you stand up and demand a little better explanation. But again, it's not, don't weigh it in the penalty that was paid. Weigh it in the ability and the integrity that was displayed, or the lack thereof, integrity. Now, I just, like many of you out there, I was fortunate to receive a document here. Man, I tell you, I looked at this, and this is, some of you got it. It was compare and decide. It was a glossy cardboard flyer from Mufi Hanneman's campaign. And I know riding Mufi daily can be interpreted as I don't like or I have a bone to pick with him. No, he's trying to be our leader. And I don't hear many people talking about the real Mufi Hanneman. So I'm going to do it and until this show goes into the ground. But until then, listen up. He sent out this flyer, and some of you may have gotten it. And it, compare and decide. He states, Mufi Hanneman is born 1954 in Honolulu and married to Gail Lukai Hata Hanneman. Personal on Abercrombie, born 1938, Buffalo, New York, married Nancy Carraway. Now let's see here. Is he calling Abercrombie old? I don't see any other reason. And why does he have to name his wife? Now, many of you, I had talked when I received this, had asked, and you shared with me, there seemed to be this prevailing attitude that many of the politicians have a wife that is Japanese. I don't know. And forgive me for begging the question, but I would like to hear from some of you. Is this something to this? Because why would he put the name in? Generally, politicians like to keep their family out of matters. If you noticed the other night in the debate, Kirk Caldwell, he laid it out that he's married to Miss Donna Tenoy, and his daughter gave the Japanese surname. Are they playing us and the Japanese community? Are they saying, I'm one of you? Or what is going on with this? And then he says that Abercrombie is married to Nancy Carraway. Well, that's, let's see here, that's, doesn't sound local. Okay, so we'll move on. Education. Iolani School, cum laude, Harvard University, cum laude, Victoria University, Wellington, New Zealand. Fulbright Scholar. That's Mufi Hanum. Abercrombie, Williamsville High, suburban Buffalo, New York. So, are you saying that going to school in Buffalo, New York is a bad thing? They don't teach good education there? He went to Union College in New York. And now, this is a really nasty, folks. You got to listen to this. Put down everything and listen to this. Abercrombie went to the University of Manoa. How dare he go there to that low-life school? Is that what Mufi Hanuman is saying? Because he went to Victoria University in Wellington and Iolani School and Harvard. Are we seeing something here? What are we seeing? Executive experience. Mayor of Honolulu managed $3.9 billion budget and 10,000 employees. Wow. Director of Hawaii Office of International Relations. Can't seem to have much good for race relations here, it looks like. So, international relations. Chairman of the Pacific Century Fellows. That's Hanuman. Well, let's see here. He founded Chairman of the Pacific Century Fellows. This is his own doings. So now he reminds us. This guy's a legend in his own mind. Abercrombie, in charge of 18-person congressional office, one of his key staffers served a federal prison term for embezzlement. Wow, how dare Abercrombie want to run for governor because he had 18 people he managed and one went to jail for embezzlement. Well, let's see here. Now, if I recall right, Mufi Hanuman, his campaign secretary, or whatever the title she is, a fall guy or fall girl, just agreed to pay a penalty for filing false documents. Generally, you and I would go to jail for mail fraud, or wire fraud, or forgery. But the Attorney General and the Campaign Spending Commission didn't charge him. Now, I also remember recently there's a the state health department assessed a penalty of $1.7 million for dumping concrete in a stream in the state of Hawaii. And the people that did it were city workers. Wow. And poor, this guy, Abercrombie, I don't know, do we do? Do we jail him based on this and deny him to run for governor because a member of his staff went to jail? It didn't say Abercrombie was embezzling. It said a staff member. Boy, does this gentleman play loosely with words. Hanuman, White House Fellow, Office to the Vice President of the United States. Best public official, Honolulu Magazine. Now, if I recall right, the good book that judges all is the Bible. I didn't know that the Honolulu Magazine was a standard that one would run out and wave it and say, I've been blessed by the Honolulu Magazine, so I'm qualified better than Abercrombie or anyone else. American Public Transportation Association Local Distinguished Service Award. Well, if you gave me a number of contracts, I'd give you an award too, and probably would give you my favorite pooch, let you call him your dog. It's kind of crazy. Abercrombie, on the other hand, he says, ranked last in overall legislative performance for his congressional class. Now, these are good points. If you want to raise those, let's talk about the voting of an individual. And if there's a deficit or there's a flaw in Abercrombie's voting, let's have at it. Put it on the table and say to him, you're not qualified. We don't need you, Neil Abercrombie. Go look for another job. But it's not meant that way. Hanneman is simply trying to play the game. And some of you tend to refer to it as the race card. No, Hanneman has learned to manipulate all of us. I expect that he would have no problem standing up and declaring Kill Holiday once again in this state, because we seem to all be allowing his conversation and to allow him to put out a brochure such as this. This does not speak of the America that I know and dream of. It speaks of the David Dukes of America that we all have learned that is bad. So when you look at this, I look at this flyer and say Hanneman missed one title that he should have told us about. He is also executive founder of a fledgling organization called Pacific Bigots, Inc. That's what this is about, folks. If nothing else, look through the bigotry, look through the hatred. The unions that are running out there supporting this, unions, you were there for people. You were there to try and make a difference. That's why it came about, because we were already receiving the brunt of bigotry and hatred and unfairness. And then you're now going to march this gentleman, Mufi Hanneman, before us and tell us the HGEA. Now I understand why I see very few, a handful of African Americans working in the state. Now I see why very few, if any, African Americans were named in the Hanneman administration in the cabinet level. Now I see why we didn't see a major employment or an increase in recruitment on people of color and other people. Now I see why there is what I would describe as a deficit or a reluctancy on the part of Hanneman to hire people of a Caucasian ancestry or Anglo ancestry. So it's up to you. This isn't about who you vote for. This is about looking at things, reconciling, and deciding for yourself, do you want to contribute to this foul stench that's in the air? Never mind what's written in the paper, because there's a little joke about that, and then they'll turn right around and manipulate you and exclude certain facts. But this document, this little flyer, I'll use this loosely, it's a godsend. This is a jewel. This is out of Hanneman's own mouth. And the nice thing about this, it was done by professionals. See, it wasn't done. He can't claim that this was done by the seat of his pants on the fly while in between campaign stumps. This was done and well thought out and well paid for, and so they're going to manipulate you. And I would say that the mayor, former mayor, to soon be governor, owe the University of Hawaii and the people of this state an apology, and all of those students that have graduated and all of those students that are to come that are struggling to get into school at UH, all of the doctors, all of those, to have him explain, what does he mean when he say that this is Neil Abercrombie's background and education? Rather demeaning and divisive. So my hat's off to you, Mr. Hanneman. I don't know what the CEO of Pacific Bigots Inc. get, but you can have my last dollar. You need to get on the bus and take this or go to sensitivity training if you want to be anything in the future to hang with the people of this state. So Anyway, 524-1080, I'm going to, as I say, have Marty Townsend on. And again, I'll be posting some things up on this campaign spending. And remember now, I have other complaints with the Ethics Commission that Chuck Tuttle and those are dragging their feet. They don't want to do it right away because they have little resources. But, you know, there is, for example, Hanneman has a, when he talk about prosecution of an embezzlement issue. So how is it that he can do these things and don't conduct an investigation? How about the city worker who was cutting the air conditions and what have you, who was removed from work, but now Hanneman has brought him back to work because they say that's a an issue with the union. The ruling was made by the Ethics Commission. So one of the explanations is Mufi has people in high places. You take, for example, someone was sharing with me the other day, he has Sandra Sagisi, who I have many issues with, who refused to respect the law of the state of Hawaii when it, as it relates to Office of Information Practices and transparency and release of documents. I'm informed, and I will be following up on it, that her husband is an attorney general deputy at the state attorney general's office. So imagine if I were to file a complaint against her for whatever, her mortgage company failures or whatever the incidences there, what people have called me and shared with me, who do I go to? Do I go to the attorney general's office and file that when possibly she has a backstop there or a baffle to filter out any complaints? Is that why Mufi hired her? Sandra Sagisi is a former news person here in town. They seem to follow Mufi's magnetic charm or something. So anyway, I got Marty on, and we'll change gears here. And good morning, Marty. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just going to go over there and try to go to UH and see if that's a good school or not, and see if I can get a degree. But anyway, this is regarding joking about something else. What's going on over in Nanakuli and that area with Tropic Land and some of the other things? Haven't talked to you on air in a while, so can you share with us what's update us on things?
Yeah, sure. I really appreciate the opportunity. I just wanted to invite your listeners to an event on August 18th, that's this Wednesday. We're going to be doing a sign-waving event, you know, along Farrington Highway at the corners of Lu'ulu'ule Naval Access Road and Hakimo Road.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign-waving event is going to be on Wednesday, August 18th, 1 o'clock p.m. And the purpose of the event is to raise awareness about efforts to industrialize farmland in Lu'ulu'ule. And so just to generally draw support, but more specifically, the members of the Land Use Commission will be making an official site visit to the now infamous purple spot in Lu'ulu'ule. And so we want to demonstrate for the Land Use Commission the community's commitment to protecting farmland. And so we're putting a call out to people to come out and join us on Wednesday. I realize it's the middle of the workday, so if you can't join us, feel free to make a sign in support of keeping Waianae country. Then you can take a picture of yourself holding the sign, and then email it to us, and we can make sure that the Land Use Commission sees the picture.
And where would they email that to you?
They can email us at Kahea, K-A-H-E-A, dash, Alliance, A-L-L-I-A, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E.
Okay.
At hawaii.rr.com.
Okay.
And the purpose of this is that the purple spot is an industrial zone on current farmland. Land that's currently zoned in agriculture, and The owners, Tropic Lands, are proposing an industrial park. Of course, right now they are trying to characterize this industrial park as benign as possible, right? Create jobs, train our workers. But we see this as the beginning of the domino effect towards industrializing this whole area. This Malka portion of Lodole Valley, if it becomes industrial land, will make it easier in the future to make the more Makai portion into a landfill, which people, if they're familiar with the landfill debate, this is this Makai portion is known as Nanakuli B. Right now, Nanakuli B is farmland. It's an extremely important coastal land. It's, you know, the birthplace of the demigod Maui. It's the the cave of Hina, his mother, is in this location. Pu'u Heliakala, the place from which Maui snared the sun. This is where it happened, in Lu'ulu'ule. This entire ridgeline is covered with place names connected to Maui, and developers right now are trying to figure out how best to make money off this land and you know, exploit it to the detriment of the cultural significance of this area, as well as the public's health. And we really have a different vision. We, the Kohea, as well as the Concerned Elders of Waianae, and many groups that have been working together for a while now to try and prevent this domino effect of constantly, slowly but surely, industrializing some of the last best farmland on Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage people to come out, sign wave with us. The first major public hearing it's going to be on September 9th, 9:30 at the state building at Kapolei, Kakuhihewa. And public testimony is encouraged, so please come out and express your support for keeping ag land in ag.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw firsthand. You took us on a tour 2 weeks ago to Mau Farms, and they are producing big time and employing. So it is a reality that that area is agriculture, and you had some of the people to come aboard and give us a talk and the various agricultural businesses there.
Yeah, it's amazing. The developers who have characterized this land as not being prime farmland, and so therefore it is, you know, ripe for industrialization. But when you look at it, the soil content of this parcel of land is the exact same as the soil under Motlow Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the largest, you know, one of the most successful commercial organic farms in Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say we can't farm this, and therefore we should make it into an industrial park? Makes
mm-hmm.
no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are interested in the tours, we're going to try and do those on a regular basis. The next one is scheduled for August 28th. And if you're interested, you can email us again, kohea-alliance@kauai.or.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can try and reserve a seat. They're small tours, so RSVP early.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's worth it. I mean, we went to the farm market there and at the Waianae High School.
Yes, the new location for the Waianae Farmers Market is very successful.
But the jewel up there is the example is at Mau Farm. I mean, I don't know if many people even know of it or heard of it, but if they were to get up and see that, they can see that this movement is a reality. They can see that this isn't just someone stealing a new, you know, term like we had hot spots, biodiversity, and on and on. This thing is working, you know. I mean, they're actually farming and producing and making profit and training kids and on and on and on. And, you know, it's amazing.
It is amazing. And the parcels that are being looked at for industrialization right now along Lu'ulu'ule Maple Access Road were in farming in the 70s before a Japanese company came in and bought the property for a golf course, which fell through.
Mm-hmm.
But so, it was in farming, and it can be in farming again. Some of the community members, you know, we've been talking about, well, you know, what would be our vision if we, you know, if we could do anything we wanted to, if we were king of the world, what we want to do with this parcel? And a couple of us have been talking about an ag park. You know, a lot of the graduates from Mo'o and some of the other fledgling farming facilities all in Waianae.
Mm-hmm.
They have young people who would like to get on and be commercial farmers, but they need that the opportunity to demonstrate that they can be successful in order to be able to get the closer federally backed loans for ag land. And so an incubator for young farmers would be a great place for Mo'o graduates to go to, you know, take a few acres, demonstrate that they can farm it well, take those their products to the farmers market, and then build that resume that they need to be able to really start on a real farming venture.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, let me ask you,
mm-hmm.
Did the Independent Hawaii do an article on that Mo'o farm visit? Or I think I saw one of the writers, Samson, was there. Did they put a...
Yeah, I think they're working on one. They're going to cover the sign waving and the actual hearing on September 9th.
Can you give us that email address for Independent Hawaii?
It's www.thehawaiiindependent.com.
Okay, and then a lot of it will be posted, and also there's a number of stories in there in the past and comments.
Yeah, that's true. They've already covered some of the connections between Tropic Land and Leeward Land, the two parcels next to each other that make Kanakumi be, and sort of like, you know, the Shibai being pulled on the community to say that, no, this industrial park is for jobs, and we're going to make the world a better place, but in reality, they're looking 10, 20 years in the future, and they're saying our landfills are at capacity. It's unlikely that this industrial park will actually be economically, you know, viable. And so if we set it up now, then when it comes to a crisis point, we're willing to let this place become a landfill because it'll already be zoned for that. And so we want to say, no, we can. We actually have a better future in mind. And Hawaii can approach a zero-waste society. We did it once before. We can do it again. And we can actually farm our own food at the same time. So.
Which they are. I mean, I'm hoping to get the gentleman from Mo'o Farms to talk about it openly, share with the public, because they'd be impressed. I was.
Yeah. We should do a show that's specific to the Waianae farming situation.
Well, let's do that. So,
okay.
And it don't have to be a show. It'll be show and tell. And we'll turn a new leaf over there in the lettuce field. But
yeah.
But anyway, another subject we were gonna I want to chat with you about this the rules and the movement to change the rules and what have you here, real quickly. Can you speak to that? The conservation matter?
They just finished a series of like hearings. The DLNR did. They are proposing some significant changes to the regulations that govern the use of conservation districts.
Mm-hmm.
So for your listeners, there's about 2 million acres of land in conservation, and the majority of that of conservation land is ceded lands, former Crown and government lands, and these lands have been designated as important for their natural biodiversity, for their cultural significance, for the, you know, the role they play in watersheds and dysfunctioning ecosystems. And the Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands is the authority supposed to be protecting these conservation districts to ensure that non-conforming uses don't dominate, you know, to ensure that conservation is the primary use of these lands.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as everyone's familiar, the Lincoln administration has been trying really hard to get all kinds of development through exemptions through. And so in this last 6 months of administration, there's been a lot of rule changes proposed. They proposed massive exemptions from the HEPA law, from the EIS law,
mm-hmm.
and now in proposing a major fishing regulation changes, and now this latest one is the conservation district changes. And so it's things like they define comprehensive management plan, but never use it anywhere in the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to ensure that in the future, major conservation major developments in conservation districts won't get a comprehensive management plan. If people are familiar with Mauna Kea or Haleakala, these are places where through litigation we've been able to secure an actual comprehensive, at least an approach towards comprehensive management plan. we're still, you know, for Mauna Kea, we're still litigating whether, you know, the developer should be the one that writes that plan or not, and whether they did a good job or not. But the point is that without that being in the regulations, there would have no way we could have gotten into court. And so instead of ensuring that comprehensive management plans are done right in the future, the administration is just removing that requirement from the regulations. Changing, you know, like I said, these lands are public trust lands, but instead of ensuring that the public has a right and access to a decision maker through, you know, formal avenues to influence decision making, they're limiting the who can say what about the use of conservation district lands. So, for example, if you wanted to appeal a decision that board makes about use of the conservation land, you'd have to demonstrate a direct property interest, and that's not what is really that's not the purpose of conservation lands. That's not the purpose of contested case ruling, contested case hearing regulations. The whole point is for the public to participate in the management of public trust resources.
Okay.
And so these regulations are sort of, they're undoing a lot of the advances that the public has made in the management of conservation districts in favor of streamlining development, streamlining use of conservation lands. And you listen to the staff, they'll say, oh, I know we're overworked, we're understaffed, so we need to streamline these rules to make our job easier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the absolute worst way to go about management.
Wow.
You want to say, okay, what do you as staff need to be able to do good management, and let's talk about getting you the funding and the staff support that you need, the expertise that you need to do your job. Let's not talk about making things, you know, removing protections in order to make your job easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll be working on some comments on the conservation regulations, conservation district regulations, and we encourage people to go to our website, www.kahea.org, that's kahea.org, and learn more about the comment period and comment deadline. We'll be sending out some action lists so that people, if you're on our email mailing list, you can participate in that.
Well, we'll get you in live, and we'll talk some more on this in the coming weeks, and keep us posted. Thank you, Marty.
Well, take care.
Alrighty. Real quick, now you heard of mentioned some of the connections. This Tropic Ag, Tropic Lands matter, is the connection. Luffy Hanneman's favorite man, Claude Kaneshiro, who has gotten as many contracts in recycling. If you go to the Fosse building, only Claude Kaneshiro's company has a machine sitting there in the city building. Doing recycling and on and on and on. So, and whatever happened to Nanakuli B Park? Why didn't Hanneman ask for this area, condemn this area, take this area, Tropic Land, and it has historical value and on and on and on. So, what a shibai, and or just for us to just arrive on the boat, what a lie. Anyway. Not in my backyard. The people on the west side, they're not screaming, not in my backyard. They're saying, you're not going to doom us in our future, and you're not going to close the door on our opportunity. We can use our lands for agriculture and on. So we don't want your junk. Anyway, Marie, real quick, you have a question, a statement. We're going to be closing down here.
Well, I want to thank you for the excellent manner in which you identified the flyer from yesterday. One thing that wasn't put on his movie flyer, which should have been, was the fact that his very first campaign for mayor, he promised the people over here on the west side a $2 million benefits package.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that may be chump change, but we were really looking forward to improvement.
Uh-huh.
What happened to that $2 million benefits package? He never apparently intended to do anything with it other than do the regular maintenance.
Right.
For this area.
Yeah.
So we didn't get any more trees. We didn't get any more of it. We already had a list that we had been working on for improvement.
Well,
and so I think the viewers need to listen to what he's saying now. What is he promising the people now that will disappear into the air so that just basic maintenance is done.
Right, something that he should have done anyway. But that's the hook and crook of the Moonfee Hanneman's book. But anyway, we're closing down. But can you call next week and I'll give you more time, as much time? And I've actually filed complaints with the Ethics Commission, Chuck Cotto, on the use of this money and the fraud practices. So thank you, Marie, and I will see you folk next week. But call in next week and I'll give you as much time as you like. Okay? Anyway, again, real quick, go to kahea.org, K-A-H-E-A.org, and get more information on that. This is the way things look, folks, and I know you. You're smarter, brighter, and you won't ingest this nonsense, this stench of racism and bigotry that this gentleman, I'll call him a gentleman because it's the cheapest word I could find in my vocabulary, but I would like to say more. But anyway, thank you for joining me, and I will, and we'll be seeing you next week. I'll talk to you later. CarolCox.com.
Listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.